G'day there, fellow humans. Mark Lebusk here. I reached out to the great Craig Harper yesterday and said, look, mate, wouldn't mind catching up. That turned into a podcast episode today where the amazing Melissa Cameron joined us, who works with Harps, and we've just had a 45-minute shit-talking festival, I'm going to call it. We talked about all sorts of things. Maybe that's putting it down a bit, some really good ideas around what's not in mainstream health that's really important for us with our health and wellness. So we talked a bit about that, but I'm not going to share too much more. Have a listen to the episode. Always great to talk to Harps and great to get to know Melissa a bit more, and we'll catch you at the end.
Life can get pretty complicated. In the Simply Practically Human podcast, Mark Lebusk talks to incredible humans to see the way forward more clearly through the complexity in the world and in our heads. Let's get ready to thrive.
I am absolutely thrilled today. I've got two guests again. This is twice in the same day. Craig Harper from the U Project, amongst other things. And we've got the lovely Melissa Cameron, who is apparently a taskmaster. G'day to both of you.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, mate. That is true. You've accurately represented her. She looks like Mary Poppins, but she's she's tough. She's harsh. She keeps me in line, and I'm a little bit scared, I'm going to be honest.
Well, you need to be kept in line. I've heard you talk about Melissa before and said the same thing, so at least there's some consistency, but you do need to be kept in line, I reckon, from time to time. We're going to talk about a few things today because we haven't caught up for a while. We've broken up a few times, Harps, and got back together and broken up, and then we're back together again. And this is the first time that Melissa's joined us in here. We've had Tiff in before. So what's been going on, mate? I want to ask you before we get into the guts of it, what have you been up to?
Well, you know, I was thinking something just before we went live. The answer is plenty.
Yep.
So work stuff, uni stuff, for people who don't know, who your listeners, I'm doing a PhD, which is quite time consuming. Here's my advice. Don't do one unless you really want to. Yeah. And like you, probably I've just stepped back into the world of three-dimensional presentations off Zoom. I did a two-hour Zoom one last night, which lovely people, lovely group. But I'm going to say it's hard, you know, when you're looking at, there's 32 squares or something like that on the screen, and about half of them, actually this group weren't bad, but often you're talking to a whole bunch of black squares with no microphones, which is hard.
Yep.
And then today I went down to the thriving metropolis of St. Andrews Beach. So we're recording this at 3 p.m. I got back at about 2 and I did a half day with an organization. I don't think I can say their name. They're a tiny bit secretive. That's but cool. It's a bunch of CEOs who get together. So it was just me and 9 people in a room at kind of a boardroom table kind of situation. And that was brilliant. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking how some days I'm a bit tired, some days I'm a bit full of energy, like all normal humans, but I had to do this gig last night, then I ate dinner really late, and then I had to do a few things, and I didn't have a lot of sleep. But I'm very aware that, well, I've got a massive day, so I can't be tired. Yep. Like being tired is not an option because that won't work. And I was just aware before we started rolling, I went and got myself a little drink of whatever it is, Mount Franklin sparkling water. And I thought, my energy is through the roof. I only had about 5 hours sleep. I've worked hard since 6 a.m. this morning, got a podcast with you, then I'm going to rush to the gym, do a 50-minute something, then another podcast, then I've got to record some stuff. And I was thinking, it's amazing how when you tell your body, you just need to get through this today, for me anyway, my body responds. And I feel like tomorrow there's a fair chance I'm going to be fucking shattered because tomorrow I don't need to be on fire all day. I reckon there's a real correlation between psychology and physiology in that sense that, like, today it's not optional for me, like in my head anyway, it's not optional that I'm tired. But that was my little revelation for today. What about you, Melissa? What have you been up to?
Yeah, well, I was actually just thinking with what you just said. It's funny because I feel like the problem comes in if you keep doing that every day kind of thing. Like the burnout kind of comes in if you keep having to tell your body, nah, we're just riding, we're just going with whatever energy we've got. And then all of a sudden the body does run out at some point. But back to your question, what have I been up to? Yeah, admin things have been picking up. We've almost finalized some event dates, which is exciting. So capacity is now up to or back to 100%. So we can get things booked in and happening, which is very exciting. But yeah, that's been keeping me busy.
I love it. This whole craziness of back in the room. So I was just sharing before we got on air here, Harps, with Mel, that last week I was back in the room and there was two things that happened. I'm working with a company who are creating the academy for me, the Learning Hook in Melbourne. They're a great organisation. And one of their chief designers came to the program just to learn some stuff about leadership, but also to get a bit of a sense of what this LeBusque bloke's all about. And I walked up to her after being on Zoom with her for like about 8 months and said, oh, how are you? We haven't met. And she went, I'm Kat from the Learning Hook. And I went, you fucking idiot. Not her, to me. That was what happened internally. And then I went, oh, look, I'm so sorry. But I said to her, I actually thought you were going to be like about 5'2", because I don't know. I started to say things like, you sit back from the camera, you look a little bit mousy, a little bit. But she was like, I don't know, 5'7", 5'8". And it's amazing how we don't pick things up on Zoom, but we pick them up face to face. And then secondly, technology. Couldn't get the slides to show on the projector. Turned my computer back off, turn it back on again, tried to hit the source button again, did all those things, almost went to get the people to come and help me, then realized I hadn't plugged in the HDMI cable. Now, I understand that's pretty important if you're trying to project things. And my point is this, everything old is new again for me at the moment, which is quite weird. And I guess getting us into today, like if we think about maybe some of the things that are old, and I want to talk a bit today about health and wellness and these sorts of things, but not from the usual, let's call it the traditional, this is the way we go about it, do 50 crunches, get your 8 hours sleep, eat 5 different coloured foods, and then meditate and everything's going to be okay. I wanted to dig into your rather large brain, Mr. Harper, and also for you, Melissa, to talk about what are some other things that we need to be starting to focus in on to really live that happy, healthy, and weller is a word I heard yesterday, weller life. Any thoughts on that, Harps, from you to start?
Yeah, let's go with weller. I like it. You could call this episode weller. You know, what's interesting is, as you said, mate, when we talk about health, often people are talking about physical health, so our body, and more lately, we're talking about mental and emotional health, which is great. But health itself is a multidimensional thing. So we're talking about the mind, the body, the emotions, and sometimes we're talking about relationships, healthy relationships. And even if we want to be more metaphoric, we can talk about a healthy bank balance. But for the moment, let's just talk about the human experience. And you're right, when we talk about health, generally, because my background is exercise science, and then we'll have someone medical or we'll have a nutritionist, so we'll talk about, you know, finding the right diet or finding the right exercise program or finding the right supplements or medical regime or drugs for our issues or whatever they are for anxiety or depression or blood pressure or whatever the issue is. But in truth, there are a lot more things which are, I think, far more interesting and really, really under-researched and misunderstood and underrepresented that really have a big impact on how a person looks, feels, and functions. That is their overall physical, mental, and emotional health. So, for example, you're talking about work, right? Now, if everything in your life is everything else is as it is, but you have a job that you hate rather than a job. Now, I know you love your job.
Yep.
You think about what does your job do for you? Well, sure, it pays the bills, which is really good. But what it does is you have a purpose bigger than you. What else? You have relationships. You have connection. You have curiosity that can be explored. You have development and learning for yourself and those that you work with. You have a purpose. You have fulfillment. I'm sure there's joy and fun and laughter in the middle of all of that. So you think about, can your work be like a health strategy? Well, it can. I mean, put it this way, if you're doing a job that gives you all those things I just described, that's literally improving your mental and emotional health. Conversely, if you've got a job that you do not want to get out of bed for, that's damaging your mental and emotional health and eventually your physical health.
Yeah.
So when we think about things like health strategies, we always talk about food and exercise and sleep and water and booze and drugs, and all of those things matter. But there are a lot of other things like, you know, like that. And like, for example, laughter. How often do you, and I know this sounds cliche, but there's a correlation. You know, when we're laughing, when we're having fun, when we're happy, guess what? We're changing our brain chemistry for the better. So, yeah. So now my brain, that is my physiology in my brain, is different because I'm laughing at dumb shit. And guess what else correlates with positive shift in brain chemistry is the immune system. You know, there's a thing called psychoneuroimmunology. And what we know is that when I'm happy and when I laugh and when there's joy, my immune system is stronger. And so, yeah, of course, you know, maybe don't have a high sugar diet, but also maybe laugh at a few dick jokes. Maybe, hey, pull my finger. I mean, fuck, you know, it doesn't need to be all carrots and celery and distilled water and jogging around the park. All of those things are good. But there's a multitude of things that impact our mental, physical, and emotional health, mate.
So brilliant. I'm not even going to try and say that thing in neuro something or other, but I really like the explanation. As you were talking, Harps, and maybe we'll chuck this one up to you, Melissa, to start with. What started going through my mind, having just come off a convo with a client around accountability, was what came first? It was like trust or accountability. And someone said, accountability comes first because it's tangible. You can see it. You can see what you've got to do. Whereas trust is intangible stuff. All the things you just talked about then, like the 50 crunches and whatever else, that's all I can see that. I can measure it and all that. Belonging, connection, purpose, they're more intangible. Melissa, for you, as someone who is like attention to detail 101, and I know this, and also know that you really get excited by things like a new Australia Post, you know,
I sure do.
System, yep. And these sorts of things. You need to live in the tangible. Is that really an important place for you to be, or can you coexist in both?
Oh, what a good question. Look, for me, I do love, you can see I've got my highlighter right here. I do love a good to-do list or something that I can physically, you know, mark it off or highlight it off so that I feel like I've accomplished something. And whether that be like what you were just saying, you know, I've ticked off my crunches or I've ticked off that I've done this workout or eaten that or, you know, met certain criteria for the day, that does give me my little dopamine hit and make me happy and feel like I've accomplished something. But I do think you're right in that there's that extra level, like that can go to a point, but then there is that extra level when we're not just looking for dopamine and we're looking for connection or we're looking for meaning that goes on top so that we don't feel like every single day all we're doing is trying to meet the to-do list. Like there's more meaning, there's more purpose there if we're actually trying to address something that isn't just the tangible.
I love it. And that's why I talk to people about having a to-be list.
Ooh,
like,
that's
what
nice.
The hell does that mean? And I'm like, yep. I call it humanovation, this idea that if we have a to-be list that complements our to-do list, the doing is better than if we just go off and do stuff without thinking about how we choose to turn up. And there's an intangibility in that. It's like, I'm going to choose to be engaged in this call, so I better be engaged, or I'm going to choose to be whatever the word might be, provocative, whatever it might be. So I think people should think about, do they have a to-be list to complement their to-do list? But over to you, Harps, that tangibility and intangibility piece, and you do lots of study around these sorts of things. How do we get people to start to realize that intangible stuff, stuff we feel maybe rather than we measure, is bloody important in the way that we live on this earth?
Well, I think, by the way, to-be list, fuck, I love that. That, did you come up with that?
Yeah, I did, mate, actually.
Mate, that's brilliant.
Mate, I'll send you something. I've got a thing called, it's the Humanovation Challenge, and every day I get people to basically, how are you going to be today, but not just on the day. When you go into your next meeting or your next podcast or your next whatever, check your word.
Well, this is how good I think it is. We're doing a co-share of this episode. Of course, it is your show, but we're just bludging on the back of it. I'm going to call it the to-be list. That's the title of the show.
Magnificent.
So thanks for doing that. Look, I mean, you know me, don't ask me too many questions. Keep asking Melissa, because once I start, it's hard to fucking shut me up. But you've heard me say this, we exist in two worlds, physical world, situation, circumstance, environment, job, people, banks, government, COVID, money, outcomes, all that stuff. And that's the way, often that's the way that we measure success, is stuff, is KPIs, is what we have, what we earn, what we own, what we look like, what we're creating, what people think of us, all of that shit. And none of that is bad. But we all know people, or we've met people, or maybe we are those people that on a level we're really successful, but in that other world, the unseen world, the non-physical world of thoughts and feelings and emotions, ideas and passion and pain and pleasure and belief and faith and integrity and hope and joy and goals and dreams and creativity, in that place, some of us are a disaster, despite the outside shininess of our existence. And for me, it's how do I straddle my physical world and my non-physical world? How do I operate in this place that everybody sees and this place that nobody sees in a healthy way so that I'm not lopsided? Because where I live and what I have and what I earn and what I own and what I do and even what I produce is not who I am.
Yep.
It's just my stuff and my outcomes. And I think it's great to find the space between my things and me, my situation, my stuff, and my SELF, myself, because myself is the accumulation of that internal world stuff. And so we know that, like, when we talk about health and happiness and joy, you know, we grow up in a bit of a paradigm or a group think, Mark, Melissa, et al., that says, well, if you do these things, you know, you get married by this age, you have 2.3 kids, you have a pretty good job, you have a pretty good income, you da-da-da-da-da, all that equals success. And we all know a lot of people who have done that, and there's nothing wrong with that at all, of course, but we also know lots of people who have done that or a version of that or even bigger and better, and in the middle of all of that, they don't sleep, they're depressed, they're anxious, and their kind of life is miserable despite their circumstance. So let's find the difference between my circumstance and situation and my life experience. And so when I can create a healthy internal world and external world and a nice kind of conduit between the two, perhaps then I'm going to be in a pretty good place.
Yeah. I remember you being really helpful for me last year when we were doing a few podcast episodes, and you asked me how I was, and I was going to give you the, yep, going well. And I went, no, actually not going that well. And a phrase was coined by a mate of mine who works in the career coaching space, successfully unfulfilled. Mm. And that was during lockdown 6. And even though I loved my, and this is the thing, even though I loved my work, at the end of the day, I was a bit like you were talking about before. It's like, I'm shagged. At the end of the day, I'm like, fuck, and I've got nothing left. And I got to do that again tomorrow. And I get into it and you do it, but then you finish the day and you're like, geez.
Yeah,
another day and another day of lockdown, and obviously things have changed there. But I think it's important for people to stop in that moment and reflect and go, what is going on with my connection right now to myself?
Yes.
What is going on with my belonging with myself, my clients, my family, all of those sorts of things? And I'll tell you what's not going to fix it for me, because I tried this, well, two things. One was going into my gym and absolutely flogging the stuffing out of myself. And then secondly, and you know this, Arps, is ordering a salted caramel connoisseur every night and a bit of caramel chocolate to ease the pain. So I'm going to throw to you, Melissa. How do you? What are your coping strategies for when you may have times of feeling successfully unfulfilled?
Ooh.
Does it involve dogs?
Oh, yes.
It can involve everything.
Yes, dogs fix everything.
How many dogs have you got, Mel?
I personally don't, because I live in a small apartment and it's just, it wouldn't be fair on them. But my parents have a dog, which I claim as my own.
Nice.
And who I love so much. And so, yeah, just spending even 15, 20 minutes just rolling around with him and, you know, chatting to him and even or playing with. I've got a niece and nephew that are 2 and 4 and just kind of getting out of the overwhelm and the constant to-do list like we were talking about before, and just kind of having that little bit of space can make the world a difference. Or I find quick session at the gym like can yep. totally change where my head's at. Can really be beneficial, or even a good night's sleep. I know it sounds kind of so simple and straightforward, and sometimes that's not possible for people. I get that. But I know that sometimes when you go to bed and you just make that conscious decision to switch off and not think about things overnight as much as possible. Yeah. Getting a good night's sleep and waking up and all of a sudden I think totally different about something that I was, you know, worried about the night before or overwhelmed by the night before.
Thanks for sharing. You're going to love this. We have 5 dogs here.
Oh, God, she's going to move in. We should have told her that. She'll be moving in next Tuesday.
What type of dog?
We used to have 4. So we've got 3 miniature long-haired sausage dogs, Frank, Doug and Bill.
I love it.
And then we've got Archie, the 4-year-old golden retriever. And then recently my daughter's boyfriend, James, has bought little Gussie, who's he's 15-week-old golden retriever. I'll send you a photo of him. But you know what? That's one of the things that's good is when you're having a shit day, like the dogs don't care, even though they carry on, they don't care. So I'm going to send you some photos of that little clan.
Oh, please do, yes.
I wanted to go back to one of the things you said, Harps. You talked about a few different things, the loneliness, connection, purpose, belonging, focus, laughter. Loneliness. So we can be surrounded by people and we can have 150,000 followers on Instagram or whatever it might be, but we can also be lonely. I notice in the UK they have appointed in their government a minister for loneliness because they're seeing it as some sort of epidemic thing. This is something that's is not good for people's health. I hate it when I'm here at home on my own. Mm-hmm. I really find it difficult. So maybe just share some of your thoughts there around loneliness. And I was amazed that maybe one in four, I think, during the pandemic, 1 in 4 people in Victoria live on their own. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
What's going on in that space, Arps?
I think sometimes I wonder why I'm so good on my own. I live on my own, but I don't get lonely and I don't experience loneliness. But today I had a revelation today and I had to do this gig. Like I said this morning, I had to do a speaking gig and it was in St. Andrews. And I have a very humble little beach house just around the corner from where this gig was. So I dropped in there just to make sure it hadn't fallen down. And I was there and my phone doesn't work. There's no internet. There's no phone service there. And I was just sitting on the couch. No, I didn't turn the telly on. I couldn't make a phone call. I couldn't. And I'm like, And I was about 12 minutes in. I'm like, what do I do now? And I was thinking, one of the reasons I probably don't get lonely is because I do this a lot. And I live on a busy street and I'm surrounded by humans and cafes and shops and retail and I can meet people whenever I want. And I talk to Melissa, you know, every day about multiple things and we run a business and I'm always doing gigs or I'm always doing podcasts. So I have a lot of interaction and connection, but I just live in house by myself. But I honestly think, and I always like to think I'm a bit of an alpha male, which I'm definitely not. And I always like to think I'm a bit Robinson Crusoe. I'm all good on my own, right? But I'm not. I'm a fucking baby, right? I reckon if I had if I just had to be by myself for quite a while with no interaction or connection, part of me is like, no, I'd be good. I'd revel in that because I'm a gangster, right? But the actual smart part of me is not, no, you dickhead, you'd crumble because you need attention because you're insecure and you want to be loved and needed and valued and connected. And I'm like everyone. You're right, Mark, talking about loneliness, it is an epidemic. It doesn't affect everyone, but most people really need, if not all people need, to belong to someone or something, a group, a relationship, a person, a family, feel connection, feel needed, feel wanted, feel valued. And one of the interesting things is the research that comes out of what happens when people retire and they go from being busy, you know, 40 hours a week or whatever, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week, into basically sitting on the couch going, woohoo, I'm retired. Well, the happiness lasts till about the Tuesday of the first week at lunchtime.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, now I'm not part of anything. I'm not part of a team. I'm not important. I'm not solving problems. I'm not creating. I'm not laughing with my colleagues. I'm not having coffee or lunch with anyone. I don't have a purpose. Much. I don't have a focus. Maybe some people do, but a lot of people basically were getting a lot of needs met other than paying the bills. And then, you know, we get very excited about this thing in our culture, especially this, oh, I can't wait till I can hang up the boots and just slide into my golden years. Well, for a lot of people, the golden years are not golden years at all. They're dog shit years. And that is because it brings with it a lot of loneliness and disconnection and I'm not saying don't retire. I'm saying if you retire, give it some real thought about how you're going to stay mentally, emotionally, and physically healthy. And so many people stop using their body and their brain to any great extent the day they retire, that the physical, emotional, and cognitive decline can be, underline can, be pretty rapid.
Yeah, and also, mate, that's brilliant. And also the relationship to identity there as well.
Like yes.
What we're also leaving behind is an identity of whatever that job was. Could have been a manual job. It could have been, you could have been a builder. You could have been a plumber. You could have been working in a corporate with your, you know, your pajamas on and your shirt up top on Zoom or back in the office, wherever you might have been. I think there's something huge there. And I want to throw this to both of you because I have that view on that too. I remember Nigel Marsh in his TED talk doing the old, we basically retire and then we go and I think he says something like, we're going to drive around a caravan in Australia and then fucking come home and die.
Yes.
And that's pretty bleak, but a lot of that happens. So men and women here then, and you know my story, Harp, so I lost my dad to suicide and I think a lot of that was around belonging and the burden of, you know, I don't feel like I belong anymore and whatnot. And so I think there's something, I have a passion around this with men, and I also think women are really, I think, a lot better socially. Now, maybe not all women, but most women have built these networks and they talk a lot. Men seem to be, once I've lost that connection with my three or four at work, all of a sudden I'm sitting on the couch on my own. Melissa, when you go, that's like, yeah, I've got something to say. So what do you reckon? What's happening in that space for the genders?
Yeah, look, I guess when you said that, I was just reflecting on someone I know in my life who, similar sort of thing, when they retired, most of their personal relationships were at work.
Yep.
So most of their friends, everything like that, they didn't actually have many friends that they met with outside of work. So not only were they giving up the part of their identity that was the role that they had and the actual physical going to and from work and being there, but they were also giving up the majority of the relationships and the people that they spoke to on a daily basis. Yeah. So I could imagine how that could become very lonely very quickly and everything that goes hand in hand with that loneliness. When I think of the females in my life, they tend to have other close connections outside of work. And maybe for some, without wanting to generalize too much here, but maybe for some that have perhaps had time off to have families, that may have been where some of those relationships or how they've developed. But yeah, when I reflect on those in my life that have retired, it seems to be the women have often had other friendships outside of work, whereas the men have tended to mainly rely on those internal relationships at work.
I think it's a good point. And, you know, it's to try and encourage men to be a little bit more like women and build those relationships and find those connections. It was interesting. I went home back to Mildura for 3 days between Christmas and New Year, very specifically, drove up on my own and caught up with my best mate from 45 years ago. And we went fishing with his son. He took me at target shooting, which I scared the shit out of me with like high caliber weapons. I didn't like that much. We went out in the river and we did some things, but I actually just wanted to get that deep sense of connection with Gregor. His name's Gregor Allen. He's an assistant principal up at one of the schools. But you know what I love about it? It's like we haven't been apart for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. And let's talk a bit about connection now, because connection is another one of these not mainstream things around our health, but geez, we crave deep connection as a social species. Harps, how do you encourage people, or what's some ideas you give people to not lose those connections but keep building on them and fostering them? Even though you say, you know, you're all right on your own, and you are, but your connection is like millions of people around the world.
You know, I think it's, Melissa made some really good points and so did you, mate. I think women are much better than dudes at this. I think we could take a leaf out of the ladies' handbook to relationships, because I love what you did. I love that you went and reconnected with your mate. I have mates that I train with every day. And honestly, 30% of going to the gym is about training.
Yep.
70% is about catching up, connecting, talking shit, hanging out. Like, I'm not solving problems. I'm not answering questions. I'm not thinking deeply. I'm not trying to be creative. I'm just hanging out with people, and I really enjoy that hanging out. And I probably need to do more of it, but I do it daily, which is a lot more than some dudes. But I also think, to get comfortable telling each other, look, and people get weird with this, and I understand it, and it doesn't need to be hourly or even daily or even weekly, but telling your mates that you love them and that you care about them and, mate, I'm glad you're in my life. You know, I fucking love you. You're a good unit, you know, blah, blah, whatever it is, whatever man language, but being vulnerable and being honest and going, by the way, can I talk to you? I'm having a shit run.
Yep.
I'm having a shit run. I don't expect you to fix it or solve it or save me, but I've got to get this out of my head or I'm going to do my bloody nana or whatever, right? And just that, because we look, it's very different now in that young men are encouraged to talk and to be vulnerable and open, but I did not grow up in that reality.
No.
I and you grew up in the don't you fucking cry. Don't you cry. You suck it up. You know, yep. Be a man about it. It's like, well, because, you know, crying and apparently being a man are two vastly different things and they can't coexist. Anyway, we don't need to go into the history of all of that. But, you know, for me being today, I did this gig I told you about and it was very small. It was only 9 people, but 7 of them were dudes. And, yep. And I was talking about all my bullshit. I was talking about my vulnerability and I was talking about being, you know, the fattest kid at school and the insecurity around that. Now I hated my body and I hated myself and I wanted approval and I had low self-esteem and a big ego. And they're like, a guy came up to me and he goes, I love how real you are.
Yep.
When we're having morning play lunch, I call it, which for me was 4 almonds because I'm an excitement machine, right? And yeah, I cut loose. Sometimes I have 6. Fucking watch out. And
did you play on the play equipment?
I wish I could have. for play lunch, yeah. I wish there was play equipment. But what's my point? My point is, you know, I know even in that context, when I go into a room and I go, hey, everyone, I'm here to teach because I'm an expert. So listen to me. I've got it all figured out. And if you listen to me and you take note, then you act on my advice, you'll be better like me. Well, people, 1, that's bullshit. It's not real. 2, people don't respond to that because it's garbage. And 3, when I go, look, this is what I've learned. This is what I know. This is what I've seen and experienced. Like you, I'm a work in progress. And by the way, it's okay to be a bit broken and a bit real and a bit vulnerable. And then you've got really good connection.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of great relationships for men is honesty and vulnerability and communication and conversation about things deeper than sport and cars.
Yep.
Sport and cars, cool, but maybe let's talk about how you feel a bit every now and then. Let's just try that. And it's incredibly healthy. And I'm lucky because that's my job, you know? And so
are you lucky or are you just good at what you do, mate?
I'm lucky and I'm not, I'm good at what I do. Well, I don't even know. I hate saying that. I think I've become good at what I do through work and effort and application and skill development.
I just like to bring that up every time you're on because it's the only time I ever see you get a little bit uncomfortable, Craig Harper. I love that. Geez, where do we go now?
What about you, mate? I want to ask you, how do you go? Because I think you have been a little bit of a am not, you are, fuck off, I'm good, fuck. I think you've been that guy a bit like me.
Mm.
What about for you being vulnerable and opening those doors and creating a deeper level of, so there's self-awareness and then there's the awareness of others, you know, awareness beyond the self. How do you go and how have you gone creating deeper connections as you've gotten older, if you have?
Yeah, well, look, first thing I'm going to say is it is work in progress and it's the fucking hardest work I've ever done.
Yeah.
So, you know, we learnt not to show emotion and feeling and that's sort of, I can remember when my dad passed away and I know. I remember saying to Alison at one stage, because I was trying to hold back from the crying because I had to go and tell everyone. I had to ring the brothers and the sisters and go and see his mum. And at one stage, I said to Alison, I think we were just gone into bed one night, and I said, is it all right if I cry? Mm. And she went, yeah, and so I did. It was almost permission to cry, thank you. Mm. Now, I look at it like
Can I ask how long ago that was?
That's 20 years ago.
Wow.
Then if I go quickly to purpose, because I think this gives you the reason as to why I think I've started to get better at this, is that I sat down when I went out to create my own business and I'm like, I'm doing it because it's right. And I'm like, that's a fucking easy answer. That's a get out of jail free card answer. Get deeper on that. So I used the five whys, you know, why. And I'm like, the fifth one was making every human belong. And then I went, okay, so I can't make them belong, but that's the word I came up with. So fuck it, I'm going with it. But I then looked at it like this and said, I can be selfish and I can hold this stuff back in, or I can now be selfless and I can share stuff. And with the hope that it helps one other human being have a sense of, fuck, I'm going through that as well, and he's going through it, or he's been through it. So I've got better. I'm going to say because I forced myself to get better, but where it sits with me today is that I actually think it's I'm trying to think of the word so it doesn't sound a bit wanky, but it's like I have to do this. I have to do this now because I've sort of been put here to do it. That sounds weird, but it's like you have to do this. You have to tell your story. You have to tell people when you're fucked up or when you're a shithead or when you forgot to plug the HDMI cable in. Whether they're big stories or small stories, people go, I can relate to you, rather than go, you're reading that out of a book, dickhead. So I reckon that's it. Now, look, I'm far from I'm not going to use the P word. I'm far from where I want to be, because what I find now is I'm really good at this with my clients and whatnot. I want to be better at home. And I'm still a massive work in progress at, you know, showing this stuff at home.
That's such an interesting and honest observation and reflection, because so many people are great with the people at work. And I've had a few interviews with soldiers and cops, men and women, who have basically said, you know, when they get home from their job, they got nothing in the tank.
Yep.
So they're awesome for the general public that they don't know and for their colleagues that they work with, but then they come home and they're just, you know, their tank is empty. I think that's, you know, that's a work in progress for everybody, but I think what's good about where you're at, I feel this is what I sense, right? Is that you get to a point where you become a better teacher and messenger when you're not trying to teach.
Yep.
Like you're just going, fuck, this is what's going on with me.
Yep.
Like when I just talk about stuff that happened to me and then what I did and then what happened and how I dealt with it, I'm not suggesting you do what I did. I'm just sharing insights and thoughts and stories.
Yep.
And people can find their own lessons. You don't need to point it out. You don't need to go, okay, this is the problem. I'm going to give you the solution. Pick up your pen and get ready. I think it's more that, and that's why I think not just yours or mine, but I think more broadly, the really good podcasts, I'll let people judge whether or not this is worth listening to, but the really good podcasts that seem to do the best are the ones that it's just good to listen to.
Yep.
You know, it's like, this is an interesting conversation about interesting stuff. It's kind of relevant to me. And I loved listening to that lady or that dude talk about their journey, their life, their struggles. And they weren't telling me to do anything. There were no directions or instructions, not one.
Yep.
There was just an unpacking of a story, and there's the wisdom and the truth in the story. And I find my own way out of that. And I think that, you know, the moment that we step down from the, hey, I'm an expert and I'm on a podcast, which I'm not an expert, and I don't say that because I'm self-deprecating. I just don't see myself as an expert. I see myself as a person who's done a fair bit of shit and's got some stories. And so that's the platform for me. But I think when you open that door and you go, cool, here's what I know to be true for me and many of the people that I've worked for. I'm not sure if it's going to resonate with you, the listener, but you can figure it out.
Yeah, mate. Thanks. Look, thanks for sharing. What again, for me, as you were saying that, the words that were coming into my head were meaning versus manipulation. And I think there are quite a few people who do the, here's a story and then you've got to go and do this. And it's like, we'll get you there. I'm going to come to you, Melissa, very quickly in a minute, but I just want to quickly share my experience of coming onto your program for that period of time. And like, it was really cool to have reinforced from someone who's very good at this to go, fuck, I do that too. And I'm watching the people on the screen, and a lot of the people may have been there before, but might have been for the first time. And I'm just watching them like, they're like, you can see their faces. They're like, fuck, this is like light bulb, light bulb, light bulb, light bulb, or confirming something for me, affirming something for me, teaching me something new. I think that's the beauty. And I think that's the responsibility we have, is that we've just got to tell our story. And Melissa, coming to you now, you sit in on those things. What do you notice when Harps is talking? What do you notice with the people? Because outside of the questions they ask and whatnot, what do you see on their faces?
Well, firstly, sometimes they're a bit shocked with some of the language, particularly those that haven't realised before they come, they should come with a language warning. But yeah, it is, that never gets old. Seeing people basically have an aha moment, when the penny drops, and it's just like, it might be something that they've been doing a particular way for years, and all of a sudden they've just seen or heard it in a different way and it makes sense to them. And maybe that's because they've been doing their own work and it's just gotten to a point where it clicks, you know, the whole when the student is ready, the teacher will appear thing.
Yep.
But yeah, it is, as I say, never gets old. And it's something that's really beautiful to see, is when those things align and people go, oh, okay, that's what I've been doing time and time again that I need to stop or I need to address, or just having those moments of realization that can really change things or turn things around if they're prepared then to obviously go on and do the work.
Well, that's important,
because I know
Harps talks about that. It's like, now you got to do the work. And I think the work is hard, but the work can be easy when you have an understanding that others have done the work and they're still doing the work.
Yeah.
And you know, they're not as perfect or got their shit together as,
exactly,
as what I might have thought. Which I know we're coming to the end. So Harps, I've got to, because this has been sitting with me for a long time, I've got to make a confession here.
I'm ready.
Remember, I was like, I'm eating all that shit and I need someone to help me. You're like, get fucked, you do. You do it yourself. You just don't put it in your mouth, you dickhead. Well, I hired an accountability coach, a wellness coach, for 12 months, once a month for half an hour. And, yeah, I know you're shaking your head.
No, I'm not. I'm glad.
Well, you
glad
just shook your fucking head,
I'm
mate.
Glad.
people can't see that, but, yeah, I just
don't misrepresent me. I'm glad.
I needed to put that out there because I'm having trouble sleeping, thinking about what might come your way. So I'm very happy that you're glad.
I wanted to say one thing before you finish up. If that's all right, it's important to, this is how I feel, right? With somebody came up to me today at, it was either play lunch, big lunch or little lunch. I'm not sure.
Did you get a little triangle of milk sitting in a circle?
Nah, I got a juice box though, and sandwiched with the crust cut off.
Did the bell ring?
Yeah, it sure did.
Cool.
But they're like, they were saying, you know what amazes me? I'm like, what? They go, you don't have a PowerPoint, you don't have slides, you don't have a presentation, you don't even have notes. I go, yeah, they get in the way of my flow, right? And I was talking to this lady about this, and I said, look, there's nothing wrong with preparation and plans and slides. And I go, but there's 9 people and me at a table. I go, I kind of need to be organic and in the moment, and I can't plan basically a conversation with 9 people I've never met. So how do I know what you need to hear? So for me, it's very organic. And she was kind of complimenting on me on my knowledge and wisdom and all this stuff. And I said, thank you. I said, but I'm going to be honest. I'm not the source. I'm just the messenger. Right? So none of this wisdom comes from me, just through me.
Yep.
None of these kind of insights. It's not like I invented any of this shit. Like if you read the Stoics 2,500 years ago, they were talking about what I talk about. I'm just messenger number 72,004,000, right? And so in terms of original thought, I probably don't have any. I think I do, because when we talk about the human experience, we talk about emotion and psychology and behavior and doing hard things and making decisions and being resistant and being resilient and being a good communicator and being aware and evolved and a good human. And there's no new information. It's been around forever. We're not reinventing the wheel. We just think we're special. We're not fucking special at all. That's what I think. And so just to be able to step in that gap and go, right, well, today for these 3.5, 4 hours, I'm the guy who's up the front. And by the way, it's a privilege and an honor. Thanks. Mm. You know, that for me, that works. And for me, that keeps me hungry and humble and wanting to learn and wanting to get better, saying that, all right, rather than I've arrived and you're all just super lucky to hear me, you know?
And I like that, a privilege and an honor. And I look at it myself the same way. And last week, a guy said to me, second day, because I don't show many slides, and he's like, I don't know why I'm here. And I'm like, why? He goes, this is just fucking common sense. And I went, that's right.
Yeah.
And, wow. And he goes, no, nothing. Okay. Thank you very much. But we are privileged to get to do this. Melissa, round us out with some words of wisdom.
From me, some words of wisdom.
Absolutely, some words of wisdom. It can be about dogs or anything. We don't care. Just fun facts.
Well, dogs are bloody gorgeous, aren't they?
There we go.
The world just needs some more dogs. That might fix a few problems that are happening right now.
So, Melissa and Harps, thank you. I hope to bump into you in the flesh one day. And, geez, I hope I recognise you when I do, Harps.
Yeah, well, you'll say to me, oh, my God, I thought you were just a head. And I'll go, no, I have all of this below.
Thanks. Thank you, fellow humans. It's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, everyone. Yes. Thanks, Melissa. Hey, Melissa, good work. Don't get too much better because I'm a little nervous now.
Melissa's brilliant.
Isn't she, though?
Yeah, she is.
Thank you both. See ya.
Happy days. Thank you very much. I left that confession right until the end because I wasn't quite sure how Harps was going to respond to my hiring of a wellness and health coach, Lauren Miller, who is brilliant. So, Lauren, you're doing some great work with me. But he was pretty good. He did shake his head because I could see him on Zoom, but he was accepting of what I'd done. And that's important to me because I do look up to Harps a bit in regards to doing the right thing and looking after yourself and experimenting to become better, a better version of you. I love that Melissa loves dogs. I love also that Melissa is still learning, even though she sits with and sits through a lot of Harps's presentations and programs and everything he does, that she goes, even after 9 and 10 times, there's still something for me to learn. I think there's a great lesson in that for all of us. Just on the topic today, and we talked about things like loneliness and belonging and connection and this sort of stuff. Like, I guess there's two things that come out for me as someone who is trying to be a reformed, emotionless human being, that it does take time and you should allow it to take time. Don't try and become great at this straight away because that will spook the horses and scare the people around you. But it is worth it, and it's worth starting with yourself. But even as important is if you're sensing something with others, just check in with them, because loneliness is an epidemic. Loss of connection when people perhaps move out of career into transitioning into retirement is a time where they need to be connected as much as they've ever been. So reach out to them as well. And I want to finish with this one. Let's all just laugh a bit more. Hey, if you love this one, and I loved it because I got to speak to two great humans, why not rate it 5 stars? And if you liked it, share it with your friends. But until next time, that was an unexpected one, but a bloody joyful one. Keep it simple, keep it practical, and keep it human. Bye for now.